Early in his ministry, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for the Passover feast. And as he usually did, he went to the temple when he entered the city. But when he entered the temple grounds, he found there what was apparently going to be a recurring problem. The temple court was not filled with worshipers, but with the sounds of a marketplace. And to understand this, Christians, we have to first understand how this situation happened in the first place. You see, in the time of Jesus, the Jews lived all over the world. Ever since they had been sent into exile to the Babylonians, they had lived in many different places for the past several hundred years. But even though these Jews lived very far off, they still wanted to keep God's law. And part of keeping God's law was a commandment to come to Jerusalem for the major feasts. Passover was one of them. So making a pilgrimage to Jerusalem to keep the Passover was part of doing what God wanted them to do. And of course, the main thing of the Passover was the sacrifice of the Passover lamb, one lamb for each family. But traveling very long distances in those days was not always easy. And it was especially difficult to bring along the animals that they had to sacrifice. And so instead of trying to bring these animals along, they would simply buy them once they got to Jerusalem, so that they could buy what they needed and then sacrifice them to God as he had commanded. And so the sellers of oxen and sheep and pigeons were helping them to do just that. They made it possible for them to get the things that they needed. And so in that sense, there was nothing really wrong with what these sellers were doing. It was a convenient service to help them keep the law, even if they had to travel a very long way. And the money changers were there also as a kind of convenient service. Because another commandment that God had given in the Old Testament was that every adult male was supposed to pay what was called the temple tax. In Exodus chapter 30, we are told, "Each one who is numbered in the census shall give this, half a shekel according to the shekel of the sanctuary. The shekel is 20 gerahs, half a shekel as an offering to the Lord." So the law was clear enough then. Every adult male was supposed to pay half a shekel. But there was a problem. Nobody used shekels anymore. So they had to have some other kind of money to be able to do it. And they determined that Persian coins were an acceptable substitute. In fact, in Matthew 17, when the people come to Peter asking if Jesus paid this very tax, they are called the collectors of the 2-drachma tax, a drachma being a Persian coin. And so the 2-drachma was considered to be the equivalent of half a shekel, and it was the kind of money that they could use. But the other problem was is that most people didn't use Persian coins either. Most people used Roman coins. And Roman coins were completely unacceptable because they had idolatrous things stamped right on them. So the money changers were there and willing to exchange Roman coins or whatever else they had for these Persian coins, so that the people who came to pay this tax would be able to do what God wanted them to do. So in that sense, too, there was nothing really wrong with what they were doing. The problem was not what they were doing, Christians. The problem was where they were doing it. Instead of setting up shops somewhere else in Jerusalem, even right next to the temple, which would have been perfectly okay, they decided to set up shop instead in the outer court of the temple itself, right in the court of the Gentiles. In the very place where all people were supposed to be able to come and to worship and to pray to God, it was instead crowded with their tables and shops and animals. And it was as noisy as a marketplace. You can imagine how hard it would be to pray when people are literally shouting and haggling around you. These people were treating God's house as nothing special, as just another place to buy and to sell. But what probably made it the worst of all, Christians, was that this was no accident. It's not like these people had rushed into the temple and there was nothing that anybody could do about it. It was the temple authorities themselves that allowed this to happen, because then they could charge them rent to be there, and they probably also had a sales tax on all of the transactions. They were all profiting off the abuse of God's house, even while they thought that they were serving God. And so at the sight of all of this before him then, Jesus is filled with wrath. This is not the anger of a man who is simply upset. This is the righteous wrath of the Son of God who has come to cleanse his temple. And so making a many-corded whip, probably out of the leads of the animals themselves, Jesus began to drive them all out, animals and people alike. He overturned the tables of the money changers, and he poured their coins out on the ground. Jesus had come to cleanse the temple so that it would be used for its proper purpose, and so that God's holiness and God's name would no longer be dragged through the mud. And the disciples, remembering the words of Psalm 69, recognized that this was the very reason why Jesus had come. Jesus had come to cleanse. Jesus had come to purify. Jesus had come to drive out all who were opposed to God. And Jesus had come to bring men back to him in true righteousness and purity forever. And in this way, Christians, Jesus is also the fulfillment of the prophecy of Malachi. Because Malachi proclaimed through the Holy Spirit that the Lord would suddenly appear at his temple. And as we hear in Malachi 3, verse 2, "But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap." Jesus had come like a man purifying metal, burning away all the slag and all the impurities, to take all of these things out of the metal so that it would be pure gold or pure silver once more. Jesus had come as a fuller, the ancient bleachers who would bleach with their soaps so that fabrics would turn white. Jesus had come to make it so that it was no longer dull and dirty, but a pure and a clean white. Jesus drove out the sellers and the money changers from the temple so that the temple would be pure once more and no longer polluted by their abuse. And the worship of those who came would no longer be distracted or interrupted. God's temple would be a house of prayer, not a house of trade once more. But Christians, Jesus has not only come to purify a building. More importantly, he has come to purify our hearts. As Malachi goes on to say, "He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver, and they will bring offerings in righteousness to the Lord." Jesus has not only come to purify the sons of Levi, but the hearts of all people. Jesus has come to take away the sins that are crowded within our hearts, the sellers and the money changers which are keeping us away from God. And Jesus purifies us within, not with gold or silver, but with his own precious blood. Blood which can drive out our sins, and blood which can wash away even the toughest stain. And purified in this way, Christians, through the blood of Christ, we can now draw near to God and offer him, bring him offerings in righteousness, because our hearts are now his temple, and the Lord dwells within. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, who sent your Son into the world, not to destroy it, but to purify it for yourself, cleanse our hearts from all our faults and make us pure within, so that we may serve you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.